Hey, it's Monday, and this is Ray, Tall Rayside.
Yeah, man, this is Tay, Eric Taylor, and wow, what a weekend in sports, NFL, and we will get you updated on all the breaking news and injuries. But listen, you want to join us on the adventure? Obviously, you know, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/RayandTayToday and listen in, and that's R-A-E. You can send us your questions on email. We love that. Everybody's been doing that a lot, RAEANDTAYtoday@gmail.com. Follow us at Twitter, Ray and Tay Today. Like us on Facebook. But give us a call, man. Join the adventure and the show, 718-664-9098. And Ray, let's let them know what's going on today, and then we will get into the crazy breaking news.
All right. So we're going to go into what looks like Injury Monday. We're going to go through all these injuries from the weekend, from football, from baseball, get you up to date on who's hurt. We're going to run through the BCS top 10. This is the first week of the BCS. So we'll go through the top 10, see if your team, your alma mater is in there. We'll review NFL Week 6, the games on Sunday, and we'll preview the Monday night football game between Denver and San Diego. We'll go through baseball and the playoffs and look at the two LCS series, and then we'll finish up with our weekly series, Champs and Chumps, where Ray and Tay give you our champs and our chumps of the past weekend. So, Tay, we'll start with
man.
The sad injury news.
Listen, man. Obviously the baseball one happened first. Everyone knows, you know, after the Yankees' heroic win on Friday, then, you know, you have Saturday and Sunday. Jeter on Saturday is basically out for the rest of the playoffs, fractured the ankle, right? I think it's the ankle.
Yeah.
So,
I screamed at the TV. I said, he broke his ankle. And everybody said, well, I did that. I know.
Listen,
I know
someone like myself who broke the tibia and fibula in my right ankle, I know and just, and heard the crunch. It's devastating to have an injury like that, man. So we give the shout out to Jeter, and hopefully Knicks could fill in. But I think it's going to hurt the Yankees. He's been the only guy that's been clutch, and just that whole playoff leadership and being a veteran. But what's really hurtful is, I don't know if people have seen the NFL Network this year, we had a Football Life. They did a feature on Ray Lewis, who they focused on for his last season. They, you know, put the audio on him on and off the field. Incredible. Incredible middle linebacker for the Baltimore Ravens. Tore his tricep muscle. Complete tear. He's out for the season. And cornerback Ladarius Webb is also out for the season. The defensive tackle, Nada, is hurt, might miss a game. But, I mean, for the Ravens, and I'm a Steeler fan, I don't ever wish injuries against anybody, and I'm just sad because I love football, right? You know, and Ray Lewis, he's one of the best linebackers to ever do it. So he'll definitely be missed. They already have Suggs out and might be able to make it back for the playoffs. But it's gonna be hard for the Ravens, man. It's going to be hard.
Can I just say that we've been watching football for a long time.
And
we follow injuries. And you always have ankles and hamstrings and separated shoulders and clavicles and knees and ACLs and all this stuff. But we need to get a doctor on the show. Is there a doctor in the house? Because these biceps and triceps injuries.
Well,
we
need
never
a
heard of these
Stefania
injuries.
Bell. I know a licensed physical therapist that I work with out here. I might have to get them to come on the show.
Get
them
on the show
with us,
because
man.
Because are folks just too big? Because we never heard of this growing up. Torn triceps, torn biceps. Now maybe it happened and went undiagnosed. But are these guys just too big? Are they putting on too much weight? Is their basic body frame not able to hold this weight? Because every year you either have
a
lineman or a
linebacker. Well, he also lost weight this year. He's lighter, so.
Well, actually, that's a good point. Ray Lewis did lose 15 pounds. But these big offensive linemen tearing biceps, tearing triceps, what's going on? This is a new injury. So, anyway, I thought I would just throw that out there.
Now, also, your boy from your Cow freaking choking boys, DeMarco Murray, will probably miss the Panthers game. He got injured.
Yeah,
so.
It's not broken. He has ligament damage, but it's not broken. So hopefully a little bit of time on the pine will get his leg right and get the Cowboys right. Maybe Felix Jones will take this opportunity to step up and play like a first-round pick out of Arkansas that he was.
And then also for the Bounty folks, you know, Scott Fujita, unfortunately, hurt his neck and might be career-ending. So, wow, you know, shout-out to him. And just, it's crazy. It's real, real, real in the field. So why don't we jump from all this drama, and why don't we get right in?
Championship Series.
Let's get right into what some
first
folks
poll.
Like to just say, the straight-up BS, right? But it's the beast BS. You know, look, for me, I don't agree with it all. We'll do the top 10. I don't agree with it in a lot of areas. But I guess we'll start at number 10 with USC, right?
Yeah, USC
so,
number 10.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, I guess in that sense they're still alive with one loss, and with them having a Pac-12 championship this year, if they could ever beat Oregon and I guess or Oregon State in 2 weeks, they have a shot to you know, still maybe get not only into a BCS game, but into maybe a Final Four championship, even though we don't have a Final Four this year. Then we got the boys, right, at number 9 for
Oklahoma.
That Red River rivalry. We talked about that game. Oklahoma smacked Texas.
They did.
Boy, we didn't see that coming, did we?
Well, I had them winning. I didn't know that I had them slapping them down like that.
No, that's what I'm saying. I thought Texas would win a closer one and you had Oklahoma, but neither one of us thought it would be a murder scene. That was
yeah.
Rough. So why don't you tell us who's at number 8
over there? Yeah, number 8, we got Oregon State. We got some football up there in Pac-12 country, Corvallis. And then moving up, we got number 7, we got USC, the other USC, South Carolina, at 6-1, the old Bull Coast.
Which had a very tough schedule. I mean, gosh.
Yeah, but that's the SEC. You know, one observation, we're not going to do 11-12, but they're Georgia and Mississippi. So the Pac-12 has 6 of the top 12, I'm sorry, the SEC has 6
yeah.
of the top 12 BCS teams, and some are saying that this is even a little bit of a down year for the SEC, and they're still dominating
right.
the BCS.
And my West Virginia team lost, and they dropped down to 13, so I had to mention that because I still like West Virginia.
Yeah, Geno may have fallen back a couple of notches on his Heisman run, but we'll see. We'll see. So, yeah, so South Carolina, 7.
South Carolina, number 7. And then another SEC team in number 6, you got LSU, who looks like they're back in the mix with one loss.
Yep, they get to play. I mean, they handle their own destiny because they get to play Florida, and then they get to play potentially Alabama. So, you know, they've got – if they win out, then they'll be most likely in that BCS championship game. You got to figure the SEC champ is going to go to the BCS championship game. And then your boys are number 5. Let us know.
The Fighting Irish of Notre Dame.
That was
yeah,
not a touchdown,
you know,
by the way.
Well, listen,
I mean, that was
listen.
A touchdown. That was
no,
a touchdown.
No, but they did what they had to do against Stanford. I thought that they would. And, you know, give them credit. They just played good ball. Did you see that shot that Golston took, though? From that Stanford safety, he popped him, man. And but Notre Dame came back and fought, you know, down 10-3, and then they came and did their thing. Now, what I like is how, at number 4, Kansas State is battling and playing some football.
Did you get your Klein jersey yet?
You know, I might have to, you know, for nostalgia, Colin Klein is a hero to most. So he's getting
Kansas is going crazy right now.
He's getting it done at K-State. Then this is where the controversy comes in, right? And number 3, it's Oregon, the Oregon Ducks, the fastest team on the turf, on earth. I think they should be number 2, but they're number 3, and I guess it's just because of schedule and toughness, and obviously 6 teams in the top 12 with the SEC, you can't argue, or maybe you can, but right now maybe you can. Florida Gators, maybe their schedule has just been a little bit tougher, the computer says, so the Gators get number two and Bama's number one. So what do you think about that, Ray? They line up on the field. Florida, can they beat Oregon? I don't know about that one.
I don't know about that. I mean, they're Will Muschamp has thrown together a good defense down there in Florida, in Gainesville. But that Oregon team, I think Nick Saban's the only one with his athletes and his players that can hold them down and then potentially score enough to you're not going to hold them down to under 21 points, right? So you got to at least score 24, let's say, to beat Oregon. Especially on a neutral field. I mean, up there in Eugene, you might have to score 45 to beat them. But in a neutral field, maybe you can't hold them to less than 21. I would say maybe even 24 or 28. So you have to be pretty good offensively to beat that Oregon team, in addition to being pretty good defensively. So I think Florida's having too much trouble offensively that they won't be able to score enough points if they were to meet Oregon. And I like this Alabama team. I just think play the game already. Alabama, Oregon. I mean, to me, they're the two best teams in the country.
Yeah.
But you know, we still have half a football season to get there, and you know, crazier things have happened. But it looks like they're on a collision course for each other.
Right. I mean, Florida has a greater chance of getting knocked off, and then if that's the case, and Oregon can handle the Pac-10, Pac-12, and the championship, and Bama can fight off the SEC guys. It could be one of the most memorable championship games ever, right? You know, I mean, people tend to love different conferences, but it'd be good to see sort of the West Coast, sort of Pac-12 saying like, hey, you know, and if they can get through a tough, you know, this year, good. They got some good teams in Washington, Washington State. UCLA is a little bit better than people might have thought, or USC, Oregon State. So if Oregon can get through that and Stanford's good, give them kudos, and then, you know, hey, they played on the field. Or I would love to just see Oregon, Bama, and see what happens, you know. So, well, you know, that's what's so fascinating, because we'll get to a place in a couple of years, I think it's, what, 2014, where we'll be on the field. But for now, we still got to sort of have the championship be on the field, but not, you know, a real playoff.
Look, for the most part, we'll take a break in just one sec. But for the most part, you get the top two teams. There's usually one team that gets left out. So, you know, BCS isn't – I mean, it isn't the worst thing in the world. We both agree there should be a playoff, because in every other sport and in life, you know, you play it out on the field and not one, you know, winner takes all, one versus two. But in this case, I think at the end of the year, this is going to be one of those years, I think, that we're going to have a clear top two teams and they're going to play each other. Although you're right, we should have a playoff.
Yeah, no, it would be great to see. So let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and recap the great week 6 of the NFL. Ray and Tay.
Was that your version?
Putting a little scratches there, you know, a little rain.
Scratches?
Cutting it, scratches. Wait, I gotta tell the people, you know, we told you on Friday, Ray and Tay are going up against each other in one of our leagues, and Tay is up by .92. Basically, Ray has won. He's got Peyton Manning going tonight, and it's a wrap. Manning just gets 1 point, and I'm done. So,
don't get injured,
Peyton. Congrats, Ray. Congrats, Ray. I give it to you. You got me. You got me. I have a better record than you right now in the league, but
yeah,
you got me.
Yeah, I'll be 3-3. I needed that win.
Well, actually, I think if I lose, I'll be 3-3, so we'll be tied. So,
we got another league where I'm 5-1. So I'm doing all right, holding my own.
Yeah. No, definitely.
The defense, the planet Earth doomsday.
Yeah.
5-1, PEDs.
Yeah, I think I'm probably going to be 3-3 in that one, but I'll be 4-2 in beer money, which is another league, our Yahoo league. So I got busy this week with some of my guys. But hey, you know, it's a great week. There's so many great games. We'll cover a couple of them. You know, I guess we should start off first with the
We got the Green Bay Houston game.
Well, the Sunday night. Yeah, let's work our way backwards. And I mean, wow. You know, you got to believe that the cream rises to the crop, right? I mean, people say this. Well, we saw it firsthand in Houston last night, down at Reliant. It got ugly kind of quickly. Kudos to James Jones. Set a record, I guess tied Don Hutson or something, for 2 touchdowns in 3 weeks
in a row.
Three
straight games, yeah.
3 straight games. It's incredible. And then Jordy Nelson, who put up yeoman stats to get me to come back in one of my other leagues. I just need Gates and Rivers to get busy tonight. Jordy Nelson, fantasy-wise, put up over 40 fantasy points. 3 touchdowns, over 120 yards receiving. Aaron Rodgers, 6 touchdowns, and he just did it like Cool Hand Luke. Like, what? I thought I'd remind y'all, you know, like I'm
and
supposed
he,
to
And he
that.
Didn't even play the last 6 minutes of the game. So
right. I mean,
he had 6 touchdowns. And you know, we have a champ and chump segment out there, and Aaron Rodgers could have easily been the champ. 6 touchdowns. And didn't even really break a sweat.
He is the champ. The champ is here. Look, if he puts on the belt, he is the champ, man. I mean, shout out to Rodgers. I'm impressed. Listen, one thing you learned about yesterday, and we'll get into some, you know, the other games, but one thing you learned in terms of the NFC, the Packers and the Giants are still going to be heard from before the season is out. And I think right now you could easily say maybe the Giants, Packers, then the Niners is the pecking order of the NFC right now. So, you know, that's how I would, you know, look at it. And
Houston, and if you're Houston, there's nothing really to be ashamed about. This is exactly my Super Bowl with the same outcome. So I have Green Bay beating Houston in the Super Bowl. Now, Houston was 5-0, and like we've seen in sports, historically, you need to learn how to become a champion. And part of that is getting punched in the mouth, you know, so even in that year,
I think
you know,
this will help them in the future. This game will definitely help the Texans. You're right about that.
Yeah. So you never want a loss, but you can live with a loss to the Green Bay Packers, who are sort of an underachieving 3-3. But they're a great team, and when they're clicking, they're hard to beat. And if they can get turnovers, they're the best team in football. I mean, I'll put them up against anybody. If their offense is clicking and their D creates a turnover or two, they're unbeatable.
Because let's remind everybody, right?
Fan.
They did this with Benson out. Alex Green stepped up nicely. JaMychal Finley tried to play, but he was really jacked up and didn't play that great with his shoulder. And Greg Jennings, your best receiver's out. So I mean,
is
imagine...
Alex Green related to Mitch Blood Green?
that's a good question, man. So let's look at this surprising. Well, you know what? Let's jump it. Why don't we look at the Patriots going to Seattle, and wow, I mean, what a great game. Russell Wilson really out-dueling Tom Brady, and 14 points in the fourth quarter, 14-3, they get him in the fourth, and they win 24-23. I mean, early on, you know, Seattle's up 10-7 in the first quarter, but then, you know, New England just starts, you know, doing their thing, and you're like, uh-oh. You know, second and third quarter, they get 10 and 13 points, and it looks like they might pull away. And then Seattle's defense hit New England in their snot box, and just, man, you got to love Thomas, Shermer, their Chancellor, their whole secondary is so tough, man. That Seattle team and their defense, and what a pass to Sidney Rice.
Yeah. Browner. These
guys tell me you love
tackle.
Wilson's pass to Sidney Rice.
Oh, yeah. Sidney Rice had an intervention and finally woke up and started playing for all you fantasy folks out there.
Wes Welker was incredible, but it wasn't enough, right? 10 for 138. But where was Gronkowski? You know, Ridley only got 34 yards.
You were worried.
Yeah, Ridley, 34 yards. You know, I mean, it was ugly in that sense. You know, Marshawn Lynch didn't have a big day, but, you know, I guess they did enough. You know, only 41 yards, so you give a lot of credit to Russell Wilson for almost putting up 300 yards, 293. And that's a big game.
It wasn't a statistically great game for
just good football.
Seattle,
But New England threw up the statistics, right? Tom Brady threw for 395 and two touchdowns. They couldn't really
but
run the
field
ball.
Goals,
that was
right?
The thing.
They got to the red zone, and they had to kick them field goals.
That's exactly right. It was the field goals in the second quarter, the third quarter, and the fourth quarter. All they did was they had one touchdown and three field goals in the second, third, and fourth quarters. So, you know, you looked at that game and you kept saying the Patriots should be winning by more. And what we learned from that game is that Seattle is a tough team, especially at home. You don't want to be in the playoffs and have to play Seattle up there in the greater Northwest. They're a good, not great team, but they're a team that is tough and they're a body blow,
body
blow,
body
blow.
Stick serious.
With it. Yep. They're a team to contend with.
Well, look at it right now. I mean, hey, listen, you know, you can say what you want about that call, but they beat the Packers and the Patriots now at home. They're tough. And they should
and
have
Cowboys,
that win in Arizona.
Are underachieving. But, yeah, those are three going into the season. Those are thought to be three pretty good teams. Yeah, Seattle's
yeah,
tough
gonna,
at home, no doubt.
That's going to be interesting. Well, you know what I was thinking? Why don't we save the Dallas-Baltimore game since I got that in another segment later. Why don't we give a little love to the New York Jets? Why don't you let them know about what the Jets did, man. 35-9, let's do it.
Well, I have to take my hat off to the Jets. As a Jet fan, I kept railing on them and saying they have nothing and they have no playmakers. And their offensive line, which was the best in football for a couple of years when they went to the AFC Championship game, isn't doing anything for their running game. So I still feel everything that I said, but the last point, the offensive line and the running game was fantastic.
They got busy. Yeah,
44
Sean Green stepped
rushes
up.
For 252 yards. Sean Green, who we were both dissing,
mm-hmm.
stepped up. 32 carries, 161 yards, and three touchdowns. So he's everything.
He looked like another human being, Ray, I got to say. He really did.
But he had a flashback to 2-3 years ago when he and LaDainian Tomlinson were splitting carries.
I think
carries
he thought he was playing Minnesota Golden Gophers.
Oh, you
back
said
in the Iowa days.
A Big Ten flashback.
Yeah, man. He was lining up against Northwestern.
Again, with a receiving core of Curley, Hill, Schillens, Keller, Hill, Bilal Powell.
Hey, but give a shout-out to the young rookie, right? He comes back and he produces, Stephen Hill, man. You got to like that.
Yeah.
Speed matters.
Not much, and this is the way the Jets have to win. You know, they only threw 19 passes, 12 for 19. They limited the potential for Sanchez and Tebow to give the game away, and they ran the ball. That is the Jet formula. Keep it close, on play well on D, run the ball, limited mistakes. That's what got you to two AFC Championship games, and that's the only way the Jets will win. And they did it. They stuck to the formula. They had a Colt team that did great in their comeback win against the Packers last week, maybe on an emotional high with their coach being in the hospital and everything. So maybe it was the right opponent at the right time, but take nothing away from the Jets. They delivered the goods, 200-plus yards rushing the ball, no turnovers in the passing game.
Yeah, I mean,
game.
Rex has got to be happy. Rex has got to
yeah,
be happy
that's
with that.
Yeah, that's his football. That's his style of football.
And shout out to Cromartie, right, because, I mean, forget the penalties. You know, he was about to take, like, almost two interceptions to the house, you know. I mean, of course, Aaron Maven had to knock Luck, so they brought that back. But, you know, the Jets ball hawks were on it, and good for them. You know, listen, a win is a win. And the AFC East, everyone now is 3-3. I mean, shout out to the Dolphins. They, you know, at home took care of the Rams, 17-14. But Buffalo wakes up, right? They come out to Arizona where they're facing a good Cardinals defense. Obviously, the Cardinals don't have much of a running game, losing, you know, Wells and then Ryan Williams. Young, you have Howling that steps up, but young William Powell stepped in and did really well. But they knocked out Cobb, and that was enough where they were able to come back and win in overtime. Neither team played good. Fitzpatrick wasn't that good. But, you know, obviously Feely hits an amazing 61-yarder to send it to overtime, and then in overtime, like, misses a chip shot.
Yeah.
And then the Bills come down, and then Lindell hits it, and the Bills win. So, you know, shout-out to the whole AFC East at 3-3. So, man, let's talk about it for us East Coast cheesesteak heads. It was ugly. They're calling for people's jobs. What do you think is going to happen with the 3-3 Philadelphia Eagles with their loss in overtime to the Lions?
I know we got a lot of Philly fans out there, and you might want to cover your ears for what I'm about to say. I hate to say it, but this team needs to get broken up.
Wow.
You let this season play out, but somebody in that constellation of Andy Reid, Marty Morningwig, and Michael Vick, two out of the three, if not all three, have to go. Because they're lucky to be 3-3. With the ball they've been playing and the turnovers that they've had and the play calling, and again, you know, we talk about this all the time.
28 for 46. 46 passes. Now, he went back to pass more than that, right, over 50 times. But 46 passes, 311 yards, you know, he got his touchdowns.
So he's
but
a fantasy
me,
stud, Vic.
Oh, yeah, yeah, fantasy, you know, whatever. But I just, you know, 9 rushes, 59 yards. Vic is part of the problem. I mean, obviously, when he fumbled, it was the center's fault for throwing it off or whatever, and, you know, those things can happen, so we can't just put that on Vic or the center, right? But to me, I just they're just not. They don't. I don't like. I don't like the play calling. To me, I blame them on the feel of the game. They don't know how to put teams away when they have the lead. They do come back when they need to, but I really feel that they don't use Shady McCoy enough. They need more screen passes. They don't rush it enough. McCoy
14 carries for one of the top five backs in the league.
It's ridiculous. He should average between 20 and 25 carries a game easy. Easy. He needs more touches, man. And that's I got to put that on Morningwig and Reed. I really do. It all comes down to Reed. You know, as players, you can only do what they call, right? Now, I don't know how Vic, you know, has the right to audible out of plays and yada, yada, like Manning does. But to me, the first thing you got to say is they do not run the ball enough. And it's frustrating. I'm not an Eagle fan, and I'm glad I'm not. Shout out to my boy Scott, you know, Cowboy Killers and Fantasy Football, man. He's got to be going crazy because the Eagles, they have the defense,
give up
right?
17
now,
points in the fourth quarter at home. When,
and you know what's funny? After every time they turned it over, they shut the Lions down. So the turnovers didn't really hurt them. Nominee picked it off. They stopped Detroit when they got the ball, but it just their offense wasn't enough. Listen, this team can score more than 17 points. You know, I mean, they can score more than even 23. I mean, it's just
play calling
as it is.
And the decision making, I don't know what to say. But something's got to change, right? It's got to change. The talent is there. I can't say it's not. It's a GM issue. I think it's a management issue.
I gotta say though, you know what? Where they got the field goal, the refs blew a call. They called pass interference on that touchdown to Selleck, the tight end. That was not offensive pass interference. That was a horrible call. They couldn't challenge it or anything, and that made them lose a touchdown. And then they had to kick a field goal. And that would have been a big difference in the game. That was.
You're right, but you
game.
Know what? This team's lucky to be 3-3.
No,
this
listen,
team
listen,
this
listen.
This team could be 1-5.
Hey, whatever your record is, you are. But, as the tuna would say.
Hey. Speaking of which, let's go on to the next game where we got the 6-0. We give them a quick shout-out. 6-0. Atlanta Falcons winning 23-20 at home in a game that Oakland dominated for most of that game.
The Raiders.
So what do you think about the Falcons? Are they real?
I
got
to tell you, they're not that impressive to me. I have them above the Eagles right now. They've been doing it. I will say this about the Falcons that I have to give them credit on, right? No matter how you win, even if you win ugly, a win is a win is a win. And they're finding ways to win at home, on the road, whatever. And I think that's going to build character for them at the end of the season. So the Falcons will be a team that, whether it's the Packers, the Niners, or whoever, the Giants, they're going to be dealt with this year. The Falcons will not go out you know, not scoring in the playoffs this year against the Giants. The Falcons are here to fight. And shout out to Gonzalez for putting up a freaking almost MVP. You know, he's the number one tight end in the NFL right now. Gonzalez and, like, Rudolph, then Davis.
Forget, I mean, he's
Gronk,
looking at
yeah.
being the best tight end of all times.
Yeah, no, listen, right now, yeah, Tony Gonzalez is the GOAT. He is the GOAT, you know. I mean, it's almost blasphemous to say that anytime I think about Kellen Winslow, but Tony Gonzalez has been doing it. He's been doing it for years. And shout out to the Cleveland Browns before we review the Monday night game, right? The Cleveland Browns get off the snag, get their first win, but in a loss, Andy Dalton puts up 381, and A.J. Green, who could be an MVP candidate, 7 for 135. Woo! That matchup, you gotta love. If you're a Bengal fan, you gotta love your future. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is not doing too much, only 62 yards. But Dalton to Green, you gotta like that future, man. But Brandon Wheaton gets the first W.
Good
Trent
for him.
Richardson,
you know,
these
guys don't need to be undefeated. You know, no wins. They should have beat Philly. They played very well in what, three
yeah.
of their six
and
games.
Look, the young kid from the supplemental had 99 yards receiver, and Josh Gordon. So that was
Gordon,
you know
yeah.
proved to be a good pick for them. And from Baylor, and, you know, Wheaton, man, hey, 231, but he played good, and it's good for the Browns and Pat Shurmur.
Hopefully
and,
Richardson isn't hurt, because he seems to be getting nicked up all the time. But they got Montario Hardesty back there, hopefully
yeah.
Bridging the gap a little bit, but hopefully Trent Richardson comes back healthy, because he's a heck of a player. I'm not sold
yeah.
on Brandon Wheaton, and I'm not even sure he's better than Colt McCoy, but this kid Richardson.
Yeah, no, he definitely is better than Colt McCoy. You got to sit back and watch him. He's got an NFL arm. Colt McCoy doesn't. So I'll definitely defend him on that one. But let's jump into, obviously, you know, in our last segment of the day, Champs and Chumps, we will touch on some more NFL stuff. But let's look at previewing this Monday night game, man. Peyton Manning, the sheriff, at San Diego. To me, this is going to be a back-and-forth battle. I don't know if, you know, now listen, Tracy Porter did not make the trip. Now, for me, I was going to pick the Broncos, right? But with not having Tracy Porter, I could see, whether it's Meacham, Royal, Gates, I can see Phillip Rivers maybe just out-dueling a little bit of Manning, and I can see maybe the Chargers pulling out and getting the W 27-24. I want to pick the Broncos. I think the Broncos could be better. But Porter, to me, is the best guy in their secondary. No knock on Champ Bailey, right? But he's getting a little bit older, Ray, and it's just, you know. And is Vincent Brown playing for the Chargers? Or is he back next week? I'm not too sure.
No, I don't think he's playing yet.
Okay, maybe he'll be back next week. But watch Vincent Brown. He's a good fantasy move, too, for people, because he's going to be a stud when he gets back. But I think the Chargers at home, their crowd should be hyped up. Whether it's Jackie Battle or Matthews or Ronnie Brown, right? Ronnie Brown with his dance and disco moves. I just think that they can do enough, but I never count out Peyton Manning, right? You just can't count him out. So it's going to be a great game. Everybody should sit back, relax, get you a cold one, and enjoy some Monday Night Football this week. An AFC West showdown. So what's your
battle,
score, man? Who are you rolling with?
I have to roll with the home team, the San Diego Supercharger. Maybe they'll pull out the baby blue uniforms. You know, I love
you
those baby blue.
The powder
uniforms.
Blue. You want that
blue.
Powder blue, don't you?
Baby blue is Carolina. I can't.
Yeah, powder
that
blue.
Up.
I'm surprised you don't
yeah.
have a Chargers powder blue jersey, man.
That
would be the move right there.
What? A Jefferson one or a Chuck Muncy or a Dan Fouts?
Oh man.
On my team.
You took it back.
Kellen
a little
Winslow
little
Sr.
Jefferson. Yeah.
Wow.
I feel you on the Jefferson one.
No, but I do like the home field advantage. I think that unless you know who I think is the key to this game, I think Willis McGahee's the key to this game. If Willis McGahee can rush for 100 yards and really allow
Denver wins.
To do play action and get his
yeah.
boy Demaryius Thomas in the game and Eric Decker and get those tight ends matriculating the ball up the field, Tammy and Dreesen and so forth. I think it all revolves around play action, but you need to run the ball to get play action. So So I think that they will be able to stop McGahee. I think McGahee's a little shook up with his critical fumbles from last week. So I look for Denver to unfortunately for them, fall to 2-4. And,
hey, I will say
and
this.
The Chargers to win this game and go to 3-3. I mean, sorry, 4-2. 4-2 for the Chargers, 2-4 for the Broncos. I got a pretty close game. I think 27-20, high-scoring game, 27-24.
Okay, that's what I just said. Okay. You rolling with me?
I'm rolling with you. Yeah, you know, I thought the Broncos earlier in the week could do this. But ultimately, the home field advantage, I think Phillip Rivers puts it together. I think this Charger team has been really snake-bitten in the first half of seasons, and I think they're going to start hitting their stride. I think that the Broncos are showing a little bit of weakness. I think San Diego is going to step on them a little bit and pull out a close game at home.
Well, I will say this. I agree with you with the 100 yards, but I will say this also. Don't sleep on this kid, Ronnie Hillman. Ronnie Hillman might be a big piece for the Broncos. So let's we wrap this up and let's take a quick break and then we'll get into the MLB playoffs as we roll along on Monday, Ray and Tay today.
Back
yes,
to talk baseball. So first of all, we need to shout out Joe Buck. We talked about the announcers and our favorite announcers. And Joe Buck, you know, he's still relatively young, but he's Fox's guy for football and baseball. And they had the perfect storm where the Giants were playing at San Fran at 4 o'clock Eastern or 1 o'clock local. And then the baseball game was at 8 o'clock, was the St. Louis Cardinals at San Francisco Giants. So he had to go from Candlestick up to AT&T Park. It's not that far, a couple miles, but he got the police escort. He had the whole cable car thing going on, and Fox played it up right, and it was great. It took him, and I thought, wait a minute, he can't do this. Can he get there in traffic and all that, you know, all the traffic exiting the stadium? But shout out to my man Joe Buck for getting it done.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. You got to love that. And, you know, look, we don't need to revisit too much of the past. Obviously, you know, we know everybody who won and made it to the next round, but we got to deal with the Yankees down 2-0 to the Tigers. And, you know, not horrible pitching from
Kuroda
or Pettit. You know, good pitching. Our bats to – Ray, why don't you tell them what's happening with the Yankees' bats? What's the...
The Yankees' bats are a...
What kind of pillow are they on?
They took no-dos. They took...
No-do.
I don't know what they took. But what's crazy is I'll get into some of the stats later in our Champs and Chumps segment. I'll give you the actual, you know, stats. But let's just put it this way. The Yankees played 12 innings on Saturday, and then nine innings on Sunday. So they played 21 innings of baseball. They scored 4 runs, but those all came in one inning. So that means they were shut out in the ninth inning of game one.
And two were from Raul, who is now officially Senor Octubre.
Octubre, the new Mr.
Senor
Octubre. All due respect to Reggie, he is the new version of Reggie.
Yes.
So he's one of the few Yankees that's actually hitting.
Right.
One
he's not Mr. October. He's just Senor Octubre.
The other Yankee that was hitting is Derek Jeter, who is now obviously
gone.
Down and out and broke
yeah.
his ankle. So the Yankees have scored once in one of their 21 innings. And their pitching has been excellent. You know, you can't ask for more from Pettit on Saturday and Kuroda on Sunday. Well, turn it around and say, look, The Yankees were unclutched, but some of that's got to be Detroit's pitching. And give them credit. Anibal Sanchez last night goes pitch for pitch with Hideki Kuroda. And, you know,
he
in
was
the
tough,
first game,
man.
If it wasn't for Valverde everybody else on the Detroit Tigers was great, you know. So from Fister all the way down to the whole crew, you know, they were great. So Phil Koch stepped in the closer role. So they have a little bit of question at the end of their bullpen. But you know what? If you're Detroit, you're feeling great right now because you've got Phil Hughes for the Yankees against Verlander in Game 3 because the Yankees are pitching CC in Game 4 against Max Scherzer. So you've got – you took two in the Bronx, and you've got – you're coming home for three, and you got
you have
your
to win the first
the
one. You have to win the first one or else you're done, right?
Well, I don't know if you're done.
I mean, you have CC, but – the momentum, you know.
You're about the
I just think mentally.
Yeah.
Mentally, you have to come there, and you got to get the first.
And
one.
You got to beat their ace.
Because then you have your ace to tie it up, and then it's a series again if you're tied up 4-4. Now are they
right.
doing 1-1-1?
No, 2-3-2.
2-3-2. Okay.
Yeah. So, it is definitely a must-win. I mean, look, it's not a must-win unless it's 3-0, but it's as close to a must-win as you can have. You know, obviously we can't say must-win because the Red Sox did it to us in 04, but the Yankees are in trouble. The Yankees need to start hitting the baseball. They're in trouble. They're pitching. Hopefully Phil Hughes will give a good performance like Carota and Pettit did. But you're going up against Verlander, who had 122 pitch
game
his last outing.
Are you afraid, or would you be afraid to put in Nova instead of Hughes?
I think Hughes earned it. I don't have a problem.
Or Derek Lowe.
If he starts to struggle, believe me, Girardi's going to use 10 pitchers in this game. If he starts
to struggle,
it'll be Nova, Lowe, all hands on deck. Anybody and everybody is available, like he did in this last game where he pitched, you know, basically every other hitter went lefty, righty, with Epley, Boone Logan, Jabba, everybody. Everybody's available.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is a must-win, especially because CeCe, you know CeCe can give you 8 or 9 innings. So you're throwing everybody tonight to win this – or Tuesday night to win this game. So let's transition over to the other series tonight. You know, we both said it. Those St. Louis Cardinals are tough. I actually predicted the Giants to go to the World Series. And
right.
I'll stick with that prediction for now. But
for now,
they don't go away.
For now is the key because I had the Reds, right? But I had the Reds and Cardinals. I just think that this Cardinals team, I think that they're going to beat the Giants.
I mean, they're just clutch. They just
I think they
win
it
when they need to hit. And they got – oh, they've got momentum on their side. If you're a believer in momentum, and they're getting hits from the bottom of their lineup, you know,
everywhere.
Everywhere.
Descanso, man, what a game he had the other night. It's incredible. The playoffs have been classic. All the first round games went to 5. All 4 series, you can't ask for more. And this is what it's about. Playoff baseball, you hang on every pitch. I mean, the drama of the Yankees coming back in the 9th inning and scoring 4 runs and Raul hitting that 2-run homer, it was ridiculous and incredible. And as a fan,
it just keeps you on the edge of your seat. And on the other side, the Cardinals coming back from 6-0 and scoring 4 in the bottom of their 9th inning to win the game, or in the top of the 9th inning to win their game.
It's incredible. It really,
so far.
I don't know how their rating. We'll have to check their ratings and see how they're doing. But I am surprised that TBS though has the American League series. I thought that they would both wind up getting on Fox. So I didn't know that they were going to do that this year, where the AL's on TBS, the ALCS, and the NLCS is on Fox. I thought
that
they would.
CBS stepped up because they're saying, look, if we're a partner, we don't want to just play those first round games. You know, we want to get the better matchups. So I think TBS is making a big push because they got obviously the basketball franchise with Kenny and Barkley and the Jet.
And then they have college basketball.
And now, yeah,
March
stepping
Madness,
up big in the March Madness.
Yeah,
so really
TNT and TBS is definitely
all the sports.
Yeah, they just don't have the NFL, but hey. They are definitely stepping up.
That's some cha-ching. You can't really break into the NFL without some big-time cha-ching.
Yeah, no, but I think they're doing a great job with baseball and March Madness and the NBA, right? So you can't complain with that. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But I got to say, for me, I'm going to say Cardinals in six, and then I'll say my heart says it. I don't know if mentally it could actually happen, but my heart says Yankees in seven. So.
Yeah, well, all I can say is I'm still alive. So I have Yankees and Giants. So I have Yankees versus, you know, New York in the you know, in the World Series. Both teams look like both teams are underdogs. If you went to Vegas now, you'd get money for both of them to meet in the, you know, in
well,
the World
listen,
Series.
Well, listen, you know what? Right now you're having a heck of a picking season, so I might go with you on your picks. I will definitely say that. Ray's been having the good. Matter of fact, next time you come to the West Coast and you go to Vegas, I'm rolling with you. We're gonna make some picks.
Well, tonight, just to let everybody know, tonight we got Carpenter Vogelsong tonight at 8 o'clock on Fox. We got St. Louis and San Francisco.
Right, the coverage is starting now.
Yeah.
And the game will start in a little bit. So, well, listen, we don't need to take a break. Let's jump right into it. As you know, the clock is winding down. We're back with our Monday segment, right? Champs and chumps of the sports weekend. Okay, this is our regular Monday segment, and I got to tell you, we've had some good ones today. It's going to be interesting. You know, I'll let you start first today. I normally have been jumping off, but today I'll let you decide. You took your first one, champ or chump of the week.
All right, we hinted to it a little bit earlier. My chumps, I'm going negative.
Uh-oh.
I want to get it out of my system, you know. Take the medicine first. I want to end on a high note.
All
my
right.
chumps are the New York Yankees hitters.
Wow.
So they've got two hitters that are doing all right, and one of them is down, and that's Jeter. And then Ichiro and Raul Ibanez. So three hitters that are doing okay. But let me read you some numbers. So a guy who's doing okay is Russell Martin. We'll put him on the side. He's batting 192. He was just over 200 in the regular season. So let's say he's hitting about where he was hitting in the regular season. But after that, we've got Nick Swisher, the one-time All-Star, hitting 154. A-Rod, the 14-time All-Star, hitting 130. Granderson, the three-time All-Star, hitting 115. Robinson Cano, the four-time All-Star, hitting .063. 26 consecutive hitless at-bats, a record for Major League Baseball playoffs. So all of them together with their, what would that be, 15 and 6, 21 All-Star appearances are hitting .112. And then if you add Eric Chavez, who is A-Rod's replacement, he's 0 for 11. So then their batting goes down to .102. They're batting .100. With their 21 All-Star appearances, the heart of the Yankee lineup is batting
pitiful.
100. And
pitiful,
we were worried about it all along with the you know, chicks dig the long ball and the fact that they only hit home runs and they weren't manufacturing runs, but batting 100? I mean, those are some chumps to me. So they better get
all
it
right.
together. It's not permanent chumpdom, but it's chumpdom right now.
Well, listen, I'm going to have to roll with you and do the negative first and get with the chumps, and it takes me down to a place that I know very well yesterday since I went to the University of Maryland at College Park and been to the stadium down at M&T Bank, right, stadium, Baltimore, Maryland. The day started off really weird. There was a weird sense in the air because Tay was actually rooting for the Dallas Cowboys.
I knew you'd come around. I knew there would come a day.
To beat the Baltimore Ravens. It would help my Steelers in the division. The Ravens are now 5-1, you know, and the Steelers need, you know, the Ravens to lose, right? So here I am, Cowboys, go. Let's go, Dallas. No.
How about them Cowboys?
No, they start off 7-3 first quarter. I'm like, okay, all right. And the Ravens come back storming, right? 14 points in the second quarter. It's 17-10 at half. I'm like, uh-oh. And here comes Romo. Here comes the Cowboys, right? 10 in the third. And then and then the fourth quarter. Okay. The first thing is Romo played a good game. Murray had a good game. Even Dez Bryant had a good game, right? 95 yards. Romo threw for 261. DeMarco Rory, only on 14 rushes, 93 yards. Ladies and gentlemen, did you see what happened at the end? First, Dez Bryant drops wide open. He gets the touchdown, but on the two-point conversion, drops it. It could have been tied up, right? Would have been tied up 31-31. The Cowboys recover the onside kick. The stadium is distraught. They're upset, depressed. Oh, my God, it's going to end. They drive down. They get into a position where, with one timeout left, they go back, they pass it, they complete it from 26 seconds, a play that, let's say they were 50 out for a 52-yard field goal to get, they do a little tiny little pass, right, to Dez Bryant, not even a screen, maybe a real wide receiver screen, gains about 1 yard. It does nothing. Right, so immediately you're thinking, okay, 26 seconds, they could just call a quick timeout, maybe do one more play, right, because to get your field goal team on the field is 16 seconds, so, you know, if you were running the clock. So you don't want to do it in the middle field. So maybe you say, okay, that play, Romo throws it in the middle to Witten or to somebody to gain 5 to 10 yards, something, right, to get a closer field goal. A one-yard pass to Dez Bryant doesn't do you anything. So you're thinking then, okay, let's call a quick timeout. So then you have an opportunity to throw a quick down and out, right? So you can get out of bounds.
Even spike it and be left with 15 to 17 seconds left and then have a timeout to go down the field.
Exactly, right. You had plenty of time to spike it and still have more than 10 seconds left. So you have enough time to run one play and then call a timeout. So you had multiple options, right? Jason Garrett, the head coach, what the hell is he doing? Tony Romo, the quarterback, what the hell is he doing? Nobody calls timeout. Dez Bryant is arguing with the referee. The players do not get to the line of scrimmage. It goes down from 26 seconds, and then they're just standing there looking, figuring out what they're going to do, thinking about it. I don't know what the hell they were doing. They waited to 4 seconds. They call the timeout. They go bring them the field goal kickers on the Bailey on the team, come out to the field. They miss a 52-yard field goal. What the hell happened? It was the craziest loss, just as crazy as they did last year in Arizona. But I mean, just to me, it's mind-boggling. I could, if I was a Cowboy fan, I'd be ready to kick Romo, choke Garrett, and slap Dez Bryant. Okay, they have
they find a way to lose.
Clowns.
It's like that Morning Wig, Vic, Reed trio. Something's got to be shaken up there in Dallas.
They played such a good game.
As
you know what I mean? Like, they really played a good
up.
Game.
Remember,
hey,
I
they shut down Ray Rice. Ray Rice only gets 63 yards rushing. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, Bolden did okay, got 98 yards receiving. Flacco didn't kill anybody with 234 yards. The Cowboys' defense is tough. Murray runs tough. You know, they have a good game. They could have won this game. Let alone if he would have just caught the two-point conversion. So that I'm done. The Cowboys are the worst team. They'll never win with Romo. Guarantee you. Eric Taylor promises you they'll never win with Romo. They're 2-3, and they suck. I'm done.
You might be right.
All right.
Ray,
you
let's
go
let's
with
get
your
positive because I'm destroyed right now. I actually thought that we had a chance to be decent this year, 10-6, maybe go to the playoffs.
Oh, God, you're not going to even
I
got to
go positive. All right, so my positive, my champs of the week are a couple. Robert and Jacqueline. It's actually Robert Jr. and Jacqueline Griffin, the parents of RG3. So they are my champs of the week. Thank you. Thank you for having young Robert, raising young Robert, and basically putting him on a football field. Because young Robert Griffin III, a.k.a. RG3, that
incredible.
Is my champ of the week, RG.
What a game.
Coming off the concussion. I personally was advocating sitting him because I thought he's the franchise quarterback, and a concussion is brain trauma, folks. It's not like a sprained ankle. That means your brain was traumatized. And I'm not sure, even though he won, I'm not sure that he should have been playing 7 days later when your brain just had trauma. But put that aside. This kid is the real deal. He just goes out there and he balls. And he is smart and he commands the huddle. And
he's got a gun of
an
arm.
He's accurate. He's got world-class speed. You know, the only thing he's missing is a little bit of experience, which he's getting, you know, on the job. And in that respect, Mike Shanahan is a great teacher. And kudos to my man, Robert Griffin III, and his parents. You know, when you're young like that, you got to shout out the parents, too. So
shout out the parents.
Give you some numbers. 17 for 22 for 182. He had a touchdown and interception, but he managed the game. He did enough to keep the game close. And then in the critical play of the game, he had a 76-yard rushing touchdown, which is his sixth rushing touchdown of the year already.
That's the record. Washington Redskins
now,
record. In six
word
games.
Of advice. He ran the ball 13 times coming off of a concussion. I still don't like that. I think he needs to limit those runs. And again, he's not a running quarterback. He's a passing quarterback who can run. But 13 times is too many times for me. He's a little dude. He's not, you know, Dante Culpepper. He's not Cam Newton. And even those guys you don't want taking too many hits. But you got to slow down on their running. But he was 13 for 138 and two rushing touchdowns. So this kid is incredible. So my champ of the week is Robert Griffin III.
RG3. Okay, we're running out of time. So my champs, oh, yes, baby. It is the New York Football Giants at 4-2. Okay, now the Niners have dropped down to 4-2. They went to San Francisco, okay, and what did they do out there in Candlestick Park? They dominated the Niners, okay? 26-3. The Giants' defense gave up 3 points. They took care of Alex Smith. They picked him off. They ran the ball. Shout out to Bradshaw with 116 yards rushing after following up a 200-yard game. My man Dominic Hixon got busy for 78 yards. And how about Victor Cruz? Did you see the dance in the end zone, Ray? Did you see my boy Victor Cruz in the back of the end zone? It was beautiful.
Salsa,
listen, the Niners have a tough defense. It's not like the Giants like blew it away, but their yards are deceiving because they always had a short field, right? Shout out to David Wilson on the returns. Eli only threw for 193. And, you know, hey, Eli's been getting 300 almost every week. But what the Giants did was they shut down the Niners' running game, and that's what hurt them. They got the lead. Smith likes to do play-action pass. He couldn't do it. He had to force it and try to come back, and that's how they picked him off, what, two times? And this guy, Frank Gore, 36 yards rushing, okay? Alex Smith actually threw for more than Eli. He got, you know, 200 yards passing, but he had to throw it a lot.
He had
to throw it a lot. And listen, you know what?
Three interceptions.
Your boy Randy Moss showed up
and
had two receptions for 75 yards. But they basically locked down this team. They out-hit them, and the Giants are my champs. And they deserve to be the champs of the week, you know. I mean, they just play great,
well,
you know.
They're the two-time champs, right? They're the defending champs.
The defending champs went out there.
Yeah.
And you know what? They showed the NFC, look, I thought I'd remind y'all, just like the Packers, you know, that we are still no freaking joke. So it was great. It was great to see. So
great week, listen, six.
Hey.
Injuries to deal with, which are unfortunate in baseball and football. But life moves on with these teams. And so if you're a fan of the Ravens or a fan of the Yankees, you know, other guys have to step up. But we had a great show this week. We had a great show today, I should say. Join us again on
Monday.
Wednesday.
We'll
yeah,
see
great
you Wednesday,
Monday show for you.
7 o'clock Eastern. And enjoy the game tonight. Let's go.
Yeah,
you want Eli to
Wednesday.
Do well. You want Manning to do well, but I think the Chargers pull it out. So.
Yeah, I agree. All right, we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Ray and Tate today.
We're out.
Talking sports with friends. Peace.
A tornado flew around my room before you came. Excuse the mess it made. It usually doesn't rain in Southern California, much like Arizona. My eyes don't shed tears, but boy, they pour when I'm thinking about you. Ooh, no, no, no. I've been thinking about you. You, no, no, no. I've been thinking about you. Do you think about me still?